Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Dan Myler, host of the longest-running Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast in the industry, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Join me and my co-hosts, Ryan McDowell and Matt Price from DynastyLeagueFootball.com, as we use 60-plus years of Dynasty experience to analyze news, walk through startup and team-building strategies, and highlight trade targets to keep you on top of your Dynasty League year-round. It's a different topic each week on the DLF Dynasty Podcast, but the common theme is always the same, helping you build the ultimate Dynasty roster. Join me, Dan Myler, along with Ryan McDowell and Matt Price, each week, year-round, for the DLF Dynasty Podcast.
Yo, what's going on, fantasy football family? It's Eugene, and here again with another Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast episode. We are in the playoffs, man. We can do different things in terms of how we want to attack the offseason. You got DFS, you got playoff fantasy contests throughout the duration of the playoffs. You could do 1 week at a time. Also, we're just here just to kind of go through those different contests, specifically on Underdog. Hopefully we can give you some actionable content that you can apply to whatever various contests that you might see fit for your, your wallet, because these things ain't free.
At all.
Yeah. To the other host of the show, Ike, what's going on? How you doing? How you feeling?
Good, man. Those of you on... First off, I could be found on Twitter at @just_Ike09, and Gene could be found on Twitter at Fantasy Genes, G-E-N-E-S. But those of you that are tuning into the YouTube channel, you may notice that I am wearing glasses. tomorrow morning I will be getting my LASIK surgery done, so I'm excited about that. And part of the recommendations is they require you to take your contact lenses out, 3 days prior to the surgery. So, I don't wear glasses too often. Just made me want them at home, wanting to rest my eyes after looking at a computer screen all damn day. So that's the explanation as to why. The explanation that you didn't ask for as to why I'm wearing glasses right now.
Hey, I just want to welcome you ahead of time to the 2020 Vision crew. I'm wearing these just to protect my eyes. Otherwise, you'll see me all day, every day with nothing on. So, congrats and welcome to the club.
Hey, man. I appreciate it, man. It's a long time coming. Been wearing contacts since 2000. 22 years and counting. 21 and a half years and counting. So long overdue. Long overdue for some vision correction. So we're looking forward to that. And speaking of things to look forward to, like you said, the NFL playoffs is this weekend. We're here. Your Cowboys banner in the background. The Cowboys are playing this weekend. Got my Cowboys hat on. So we're ready to rock and roll. Ready to go into AT&T Stadium and get this dub. Hopefully, it's not full of 49ers fans like it was in 2014, the last time we played, because that was kind of embarrassing, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Boys, be coming up to our stadium extra thick. So
yeah,
hopefully we blew that thing out.
Yeah. What other games are you looking forward to this weekend? I have a couple that I'm looking forward to, but I just want to get your thoughts on just kind of the general playoff, like the playoff slate in general, because there's a lot of intriguing games, a lot of intriguing players.
There is. I think the one that I want to see the most is actually the Buffalo New England game, because they played what, two times in a matter of 3-4 week span. A few weeks ago, each game was a little bit different. You know, the first game was pretty much super ice cold, and New England just ran the hell out the ball, and we saw what happened. And then the second time around, we saw the Buffalo Bills. You know, they pretty much beat down New England. So it'd be interesting to see what they come from. Watching the film and what they think they can exploit for this, this playoff matchup.
Yeah, and then the interesting thing about those two matchups is Damian Harris has kind of owned the Bills' run defense. Damian Harris, like the last game, he had 100 yards and 3 touchdowns, and then the previous game, that Monday night debacle, he had like a 75-yard touchdown run, basically untouched, and they ran the ball like 40-plus times, and they did nothing about it. So like you said, two completely different games, and, you know, this is the rubber match, and hopefully we'll see some offensive output, more offensive output.
Yeah, and I think the other one that I'm really intrigued about is the Tampa Bay Philly game. I think because you got a lot of people dubbing this one as a potential upset. I want to see Tampa Bay, they got a lot of defensive players back these last couple of days, coming off an injury, coming off the COVID list. So I definitely want to see what they can do, pretty much almost the full strength versus the run game of Philly, because Tampa Bay has looked pretty weak against the run these last three, four weeks, probably almost a month now.
Last month they'd be getting gashed on the ground.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and then Tom Brady getting Fournette back, which is going to be really big because Ronald Jones is hurt. I'm sure they would. The use of Lenny F will definitely alleviate some of the load that off of Gronk and Evans, who we think all the targets are going to be funneled to. So it's definitely going to help.
Yeah, the game, one of the two games I'm looking forward to seeing outside of the Cowboys, and that's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
I won't mention that game, but the other games, like I want to see I'm looking forward to seeing the Bengals versus the Raiders, man. Like I want to see what Joe Burrow does in the playoffs. He put up all those numbers in the put up all those numbers in the regular season. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, Rookie of the Year and potential comeback player of the year for Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that offense, in the postseason. I know it's going to be really, really cold. The temperatures aren't going to be favorable for either team.
Yep.
So there may be a lot more running than passing, but you never know. You never know these things. One thing, people like to predict, it's going to be a lot of running, and then they end up throwing the ball for like 400 plus yards and like 40 plus pass attempts. So you never know how these games are going to go. And they're big favorites, over the Raiders at home, 6.5-point favorites. I'm looking forward to seeing like what that Bengals offense does, because that's an offense I had a lot of stock in throughout the fantasy season. I had quite a few T. Higgins. I had a lot of Joe Mixon. So those two guys, they can be, integral parts of that offense firepower. And then the other one I'm looking forward to is, obviously, I think this kind of goes without saying, Rams versus Cardinals. Like that game is going to be a show, and that's on Monday night to cap off the super wild card weekend.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford versus Kyler Murray. Like, both of these guys are looking for the first playoff win. Stafford's obviously been in the league a lot longer than Kyler. So
it's crazy to hear you say that Stafford is looking for his first playoff win. And
first
game for what, 12 years?
Yeah, since 2009. He got drafted in 2009, man. Like, this is just 12 years and no playoff wins. Like, we have to. I mean, you got to get it done. You got to get it done. You got the team. You got your starting running back, Cam Akers, back in the lineup, which is absolutely remarkable from that torn Achilles. He tore his Achilles in like July. and he's back on the field. Just seeing him just run between the tackles and get, you know, just it's absurd. It's absurd. It's just, you know, again, it's just a testament to modern medicine and healing and, you know, all these different methods that, you know, these players go through. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy to see. And obviously you have Cooper Kupp, the receiving triple crown king, you know, most yards, most catches, most touchdowns. So, you know, want to see what he does in the postseason. And, you know, obviously he should be expected to get, you know, plenty of targets. And, yep. You know, this is Odell Beckham's, I think, second or third playoff game of his career, I believe. I don't think he's been in the playoffs that much. I could be wrong, but I think this is probably second or third playoff game of his career. So, you know, maybe OBJ may have a larger role than we're being led to believe. And then the Cardinals, you know, they have Kyler, exciting, going to be, you know, be running around a lot. And DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be back. I think he got ruled out today.
Yeah. They're not expecting him to – his earliest expectation to be on the field is the end of the month. And that's being generous. I don't know. It's going to be very surprising if we see him. They're going to have to make it to the Super Bowl.
The NFC Championship game at minimum, Super Bowl at worst. I don't expect them to go that far. I personally think they're going to lose in the first round. But you know, we'll see.
We can talk through our bracket real quick when we can get to that point. But
yeah, absolutely, man. But yeah, those are the games I'm looking forward to, man. It's going to be a pretty dope ass weekend for football.
Yeah, definitely. The wife is definitely gonna be mad because she's gonna be seeing it nonstop. So she should be used to it by now. So yeah. But yeah, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, playoff fantasy, you know, is here. I know a lot of people dabble in that, you know, you just get your fix, because you know, your regular season's over with. I know Dynasty, this is the time where people are hustling and bustling, making moves, but I mean you can do this on the side too. So and it's fun. You know, Ike and I, we want to, you know, just touch on, you know, general strategy and process and, you know, team building or how you want to kind of go about it in terms of when you're trying to indulge in playoff fantasy. The format we want to use is we're focusing on as underdog. Underdog has their lineup format is one quarterback, one running back, two wide receiver / tight end spots, one flex, and your five benches. And we've been going in. We've been focusing on the gauntlet challenge that they offer. Is a $25 challenge where it's six teams, and you draft 10 spots and to fill a roster. So, do you want to go into kind of your process of how you're going about looking at these matchups and trying to figuring out who you want to draft on your teams?
Yeah, just, you know, just in general, I like to have, let me just go over like one of the teams that I drafted the last couple of days.
Yeah, we can do that.
So for instance, you know, as Gene mentioned, the format, you know, quarterback, running back, you know, two flexes or, you know, two wide receiver tight end, one flex, five bench spots. So I drafted, I had the number one pick and I drafted Cooper Kupp. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I think they're expected to make a run. And he's, you know, obviously going to be the most heavily owned player across all DFS formats. So he's going to be getting a lot of, you know, a lot of work, a lot of touches, you know, a lot of targets, a lot of receptions, you know, a lot of yards. And then, you know, I drafted Dak Prescott as my quarterback, as one of my quarterbacks. I'm a Cowboys fan, but it wasn't something that I set out to do. It's kind of how the draft fell to me. So he was like my first quarterback taken. I think I drafted him around three, I think, in this snake draft. And then I drafted Aaron Jones next as running back for the Packers. So he has a bye. So you know, you're expecting him to kind of have at least two games, because, you know, once you get, you know, the bye is really, really advantageous for, you know, these teams. And, you know, all they need to do is beat the wild card team that just got, you know, gotten a pretty intense game the previous week. And it's, I think in the divisional round, Green Bay doesn't really lose. So they'll, I think at the very least, they'll make it to the NFC Championship game. So you'll have at least two games with Aaron Jones. And then just to round out my team, I drafted Ryan Tannehill. He has a bye as well. He's expected to have Derrick Henry back for the playoffs. And their most probable opponent for round two would be the Bengals. If they're, you know, should they beat the should Buffalo win? Should Buffalo win? Cincinnati goes to Tennessee.
Yep.
And that's going to be a shootout. Or it should be a lot of points. And Ryan Tannehill is a much better quarterback with Derrick Henry in the lineup. And plus he has AJ Brown, who I also drafted. And that's another thing that, you know, that's pretty advantageous for these playoff formats is stacking. Stacking is important in throughout DFS. Even in just general fantasy leagues, just stacking is pretty important. Ryan Tannehill and AJ Brown, they make magic sometimes. So they have blow up games every now and again. So it's good to have those two on the same squad, and they both have byes. And then I also have Sony Michel at running back. He's the starter. Arizona's run defense just got gashed by Rashad Penny for over 160 plus yards and a couple of touchdowns. So Sony Michel has come on pretty strong for the Rams since taking over that running back, the starting running back role.
So 190, if you wanted to be specific.
190, yeah. 190. A lot.
That's a lot.
A lot of yards, basically. So I like Sony Michel. And then my other running back is Elijah Mitchell. He's playing against the Cowboys. And sometimes the Cowboys, we're pretty kind of shaky against the run. Mm-hmm. We were giving up a lot of chunk runs against the freaking Eagles backups. Last week. And so Elijah Mitchell has been a horse for San Francisco since he's been in the lineup. I think he has over like 900 plus yards, and he only played like 13 games.
11 games.
And then I also have T. Higgins for the Bengals. I talked about the Bengals potentially facing the Titans in round two, should they get past the Raiders. And then I also have George Kittle, tight end for the 49ers. The Cowboys haven't been great at covering tight ends. They're not known for covering tight ends that well, but George Kittle is talented to, you know, pretty much be matchup proof, should he get the targets. And then I have my last player is Gabriel Davis for the Buffalo Bills. He's what you would call like some guy that it's like he's a spike week player in best ball, because you know you never know, like a random week he can have like three catches for like 100 yards and a touchdown. Like he can go off in any given week. So he's like literally the perfect player to have in one of these formats, because you know you never know, he may just randomly catch a couple of touchdowns one game, because Josh Allen likes to target him in the red zone. And he's a pretty big target. He's 6'3", 210 pounds. So, Manuel Sanders has been in and out of the lineup. Cole Beasley hasn't been getting that many, as many looks as of late. So, I like having Gabriel Davis. So that kind of rounds out my team. And I know just really quick, I have Dak and Elijah Mitchell and George Kittle. So obviously that's a little conflict there. The best case scenario is if, you know, let's say the Cowboys were to lose, and George Kittle and Elijah Mitchell have big games. But, you know, if we're, you know, trailing and then Dak, you know, does, you know, 350 yards, four touchdowns, that'll at least give me a good start from the quarterback position. That'll give me a lot of points over the rest of the field, because he'll probably be one of the top scoring quarterbacks on the week. And that'll just kind of help my point total as the playoff challenge progresses.
Correct.
So, you know, I may lose Dak, but I still have Elijah Mitchell. I still have George Kittle, and maybe they may have blow up games later on in the postseason. So, just a little note about that. Just you may have some conflicts in your lineup. It's largely, it's unavoidable, but in these types of tournaments, you kind of have to take chances.
Yeah, that's true. I know for me, kind of my process with that, I wanted to make sure that any lineup or team I build, that it kind of tells a story of how I think the playoffs is going to go.
Yeah.
First thing I would tell people to do is, you know, get a playoff bracket, fill it out, so you can visually see how you think the playoffs is going to go. So, like, for me, I filled out one. I think I had KC versus Dallas in the Super Bowl with KC winning. I have So, like, I know you mentioned the Rams. You think the Rams are going to beat Arizona. I actually have Arizona beating the Rams and going to Green Bay while Dallas plays Tampa Bay and beating them. And then, obviously, we beat Green Bay to go to the Super Bowl. And then on the other side of the bracket, I have Cincinnati actually making it to the NFC, the AFC championship game. So they beat the Las Vegas. Then they go to Tennessee, beat them, and they match up with KC with Buffalo beating New England to play KC in the second round, KC beating them. So for people, whenever you fill out that bracket, make sure you remember that out of this first round, whoever is the lower seed, that team goes to the number one. That goes to the team that's on the bye. So don't get confused because you look at
the bracket. They reseed. Yeah. The playoffs reseed after every round. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. So going through that. So the first thing, go through your bracket. The next thing you want to make sure you keep in mind is that I think the goal is that you get as many players on your team is that you know they're going to play two games. I guess that's the thing that I focus on most is that I want to focus on players that I think that are going to get at least two games in the playoffs just for, you know, tallying points for the overall total. Another thing is to pay attention to the, you know, the spread of the game and the total, because obviously you want points for your for whatever player that you draft. For instance, if you look at the Cincinnati in the Raiders game, that I think that's the lowest game on the dot. Well, no, actually, it's at 48. It's 49, and they're projecting.
I feel like the Buffalo game would be the lowest.
Yeah. Now that I'm looking at it again,
43.
Yeah, the Buffalo game is at 44, 43 and a half, depending on where you're looking at. Yeah. So these are the type of things you want to pay attention to when constructing your team. Because if you think, you know, these teams aren't going to go far, then you might want to, like, for instance, like the Raiders. If you don't think the Raiders are going to make it past that first round, it's okay to just negate those players from your pool of players that you want to choose from.
And just real quick on that, that's a good point. So if you're playing, let's say you're playing in like a wild card round, just, you know, if you're not doing the entire playoffs, you're just doing the wild card round, that's fine. You can, if you think, let's say, you know, that, you know, the Raiders are going to be trailing, they're 6.5-point underdogs, like we mentioned earlier in the show, they're 6.5-point underdogs and they're expected to throw a lot. Well, you know, you can put Derek Carr and Darren Waller in your lineup, right? I mean, because, you know, they're expected to, you know, have high pass volume. Or you can have maybe Derek Carr, Hunter Renfrow, and Darren Waller, and then maybe run it back with, you know, Jamar Chase or T. Higgins or something like that. Yeah. You know, if you want to have exposure in that game, you know, just, you know, it's okay to kind of, you know, be heavily, you know, heavily leaning towards, you know, underdogs. Even Pittsburgh, they're massive underdogs against the Chiefs. Yep. Two touchdown underdogs. You know, you want to play Najee Harris. You want to play Chase Claypool or Deontay Johnson because, you know, there's a lot of expected pass volume, and Big Ben, all he does is, you know, throw the ball short of the sticks. I think he's the league leader in passes thrown short of the sticks. So, you know, that's Deontay Johnson. You know, that's Najee Harris. So those guys, you can just slot into your lineups and hopefully, you know, you get a large showing from them. So those are just a couple things that I kind of thought of.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback on that, some of these offenses, I mean, over a course of the season, we've had a lot of data points in terms of, like, we know where these targets generally go to. So, you know, offenses that are very condensed, like Tennessee, you know, Tennessee, they don't – it's either A.J. Brown, Julio, or whoever's running the ball, and that's it. So these are – like, you don't have to go outside of that because you already know how the – how this offense functions, like,
and it's ultimately a limited player pool as opposed to, you know, in any given week, like weeks 1 through 18, you have a pool of maybe 60 to 75 players total, as opposed to, you know, during the season, it's upwards in like 400, 500 plus players that you have to be super creative with your lineups and super contrarian at times to win these matchups. But now, it's a condensed pool, so, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you know, overthink things, or you don't necessarily have to be super creative.
Yeah, Yeah. And then the last thing for me is that just make sure that you get exposure to both conferences. You don't want to get your team locked in where you're just exposed to the AFC. So let's say what happens if all your teams that you all the players you pick from teams and they get knocked down in the second round, you're asked out for the rest of the playoffs.
You are screwed, buddy.
So let's try to get exposure to both conferences. And then also, like he said before, stacking. You want to stack your quarterback with at least one
of his pass catchers.
One of the pass catchers, one of the running backs. So, or if you can't get the quarterback, you can you get some exposure to the passing game. So you can get two or three of those same pass catchers on that one team. So you can if you really believe in that team making it, then this is a chance where you can kind of over leverage on that particular team's, skill position groups.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing just to kind of, add on to that point, with stacking, just, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, like that is probably going to be the most popular stack, out of all the playoff format, out of the playoffs, the playoff fantasy, contest. Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Tannehill, A.J. Brown, because they both have byes, right? I mean, they're both expected to potentially, play two games. And then, you have Burrow and Chase or Burrow and Higgins, anybody in Cincinnati, Tyreek Hill and Mahomes or Mahomes and Kelsey. These are, pretty strong stacks. Or Brady and Gronk, like that's probably going to be a pretty popular stack as well because, you don't want to be too captain obvious. Too captain obvious would be Brady and Evans, but it's actually, I think it would be better to stack Brady and Gronk because Gronk is, since Antonio Brown has been out of the lineup or, the last couple of games, he's gotten 10 targets over the last couple of games. So those are two, I feel like, and especially in this wild card game that's coming up, Mike Evans is going to be seeing Darius Slay. Mm-hmm. So he'd be shadowed, basically tracking him all over the field and leaving Rob Gronkowski open with linebackers and potential safeties. Yep. And so he'll be seeing a lot of targets in this game as well. So those are just some small things to kind of think about. And there's a balance between, you have to find that balance between being safe, which is only taking teams that are favored, only teams that are touchdown favorites and things like that. And there's a balance between that or just maybe taking a chance. And that's having exposure to teams that are less likely to advance. It's kind of about finding that balance. And you don't want to be too obvious, but at the same time, you don't want to be too contrarian. So there's like a little bit of a balance there. So you can have a little bit of both. Just like I kind of outlined with my underdog, one of my underdog gauntlet teams. I have Dak, and I also have on the other end, I have Elijah Mitchell, and I have George Kittle. Knowing I may lose either Mitchell or Kittle, or may lose Dak. But it's just, you're hoping that, it's a really, really good game. And there's a lot of offense, a lot of points scored, and they all do work. And regardless of who I lose, I'm still in a good spot going into the next rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I know for one team I have so far, and I mean, it sucked that I kind of like lulled over like my third and fourth pick, I got mixed up doing something. And so I ended up getting auto drafted. And I didn't have nobody in the queue at the time.
Oh, but man, you hate to see that.
I know, rookie mistake. but I know for me, and also keep in mind, like, you're not going to find a whole bunch of people that you're not going to be in a room full of dummies. Like, these people been playing football, probably been playing fantasy, they've been watching. So,
You're definitely
going to get smart people in your room. So, I kind of paid for it. I ended up having five running backs and four wide receivers.
In one quarterback? Tight end.
Yeah, and one. I actually went to one quarterback. I didn't do two. So, for this lineup, I had Patrick Mahomes. Since I think he's going to the Super Bowl, I just like, hey, let me just take a chance. Let me just ride it all on him. And if I don't have another – if he gets out before then I'll take that. I'll eat that.
Yeah.
For my running backs, I believed that Green Bay was going to at least make it to the NFC Championship game. So I actually took the backfield. I took Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. I doubled up Patrick Mahomes with Darrell Williams. I'm just going by my gut. I just feel like they trust Daryl Moore late in the season with what they've seen him do compared to, you know, CH just being hurt. But
yeah,
I just took a chance with that one because I mean, like I said, there was a room full of people and they took KC before you could even blink an eye. So
pretty much,
that was the only person I could get.
Yeah.
And then I took Damian Harris because I figured I didn't think New England was going to make it out the first round, but I know they're going to run the ball. So I figured Damian's going to get some work. So yeah, that's why I took him for the one game. Potentially I took Tony Pollard. I feel like they're going to go to the Super Bowl and I wanted to get a piece of that offense. Somebody I believe that should get some good pointage for sure throughout the whole ride. So I took him. And then my wide receiver group, I actually took Gronk I had the first pick. Let me also mention I had the first pick. So on the 2-3 turn on my third, I actually took Aaron Jones with my second pick. And then I took Gronk because, like you said earlier, with AB out, with Galladay out, it's a little more condensed. You know it's going to go to Evans. You know it's going to Gronk. And you know that it's going to go to Leonard Fournette if he's all the way back. And then I topped it off with A.J. Brown because, again, we already know that offense is condensed. And A.J. is the league dog.
He's nuclear at any given time, too.
Yeah, that's true. I took Alan Lazard because they're going to go to the NFC Championship game, in my opinion. And he's been the second best wide receiver on their team. And he showed it the last few weeks. So, and then I got a little bit of Gabriel Davis too for basically the same reason you said. Is like, I mean, he could just out of nowhere just two touchdowns, and you wouldn't even you just wouldn't know it. So
yeah, Josh Allen likes him in the red zone. So it's an easy one for me. I think I think he was my last pick or my second to last pick. I can't remember, but. Gabriel Davis or somebody in the Buffalo passing attack. I would like to have some sort of exposure to.
Yeah.
They'll play at least two games and, you know, hopefully they'll have some points.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said before, you want your team to kind of tell a story that you believe it was going to happen in the playoffs. I know when I dabble in some more, I'm gonna make sure that I try to stack up some Dallas because I think they're going to make it far in the playoffs. So.
I'll post my team on Twitter just so you guys can see and once I do some additional drafts, I'll post those as well and I'll just go over some general strategy that I have as well just so you guys can see.
Yep. All right, and then you know also with playing playoff best ball, the prop grind don't stop. We wanted to touch on some props that we found that were pretty enticing for sure. So, we can go through them and whatnot. And, I go ahead and start it up.
Yeah. So the first one, I think this is my favorite prop of the entire weekend. It's Deebo Samuel over 26.5 rush yards. That number is way too low. Over the last seven games, he's averaging 7.5 rush attempts and 49 yards on the ground, just on the ground alone. And he's hit the over in six of the last seven games. So I think even with Mitchell back, he's still getting around 8 rush attempts per game. So it's an easy one for me. The 49ers, their run game is elite, and they like to design they move guards and whatever they do, there's always holes for the running back. Whoever's running the ball to run, it doesn't make any sense to me. So Shanahan's a genius at designing run plays, and especially when he's designing run plays with Deebo Samuel because of how shifty and elusive he is and how he breaks tackles. And he has 8 rushing touchdowns on the year. He has more rushing touchdowns than receiving touchdowns, believe it or not, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
Since they turned him into a between the tackles grinder, and in addition to him being an elite wide receiver, it's just this is an easy one for me. 26.5 rush yards versus the Cowboys, and then the next one I have is Josh Jacobs over 17.5 receiving yards versus Cincinnati. So during the season, he was on a 10-game streak of hitting this number, hitting the over in this number. So he hit this number 10 consecutive games. Now, the last three games, he has not hit it. But, you know, that's understandable because, you know, game script kind of dictated that. But they are 6.5-point underdogs, and they are expected to be trailing, or they're projected to be trailing and playing from behind. So I do expect a few dump offs to Josh, to Jacobs. You know, he can easily get over that 17.5 number. And then the third one that I have, Gronk over 5 receptions versus the Eagles. He's gone over this number 5 out of the last 8 games. And some of those games, you had Godwin playing, you had Evans playing. A couple of games, I think you had AB playing as well. But he's had back-to-back games with 7 catches and 10 targets. And obviously, like I said, you know, AB and Godwin are both out, and Mike Evans will be seeing the Darius Slay shadow. So he'll be seeing a lot more targets in this game as well. So I think Gronk will easily hit this number, without any sweat, versus the Eagles. And then I had a bonus one. This is just kind of like a hunch, but I like Cedric Wilson over 39.5 receiving yards versus the 49ers. I understand he had a big game against the Eagles, you know, third stringers, 5 for 119 and 2 touchdowns. But Michael Gallup did tear his ACL. That is the first game that Michael Gallup did not play for the Cowboys, you know, since tearing his ACL. So he's been asked to step in to fill that third receiver role, and he fits in quite well. I mean, the Cowboys, we did play our first team offense, and we were just, you know, going out there with like target practice, establishing some continuity before the playoffs, and, you know, kind of, a confidence booster, so to speak. So, Cooper and Lamb will get the attention, and Cedric Wilson, he's gone over this 39.5 yard number in 4 games this year. So even in spot duty. So just imagine when he has like more of a full-time role as a slot guy. I think this number can climb. I think he can go over this number pretty easily. So
yeah, and it's funny that you had this one, because this one I was actually pondering also, because I know San Francisco's slot coverage has been pretty weak this year. So I thought that number was pretty enticing myself. I might dabble in that one.
Yeah.
But for mine, my top one, like off the rip, was the Damian Harris running back for New England over 54.5 rush yards versus Buffalo. Like we said earlier, he's mashed Buffalo the both games they played. He's averaged 107 yards and 2 touchdowns versus Buffalo this year. This game is rumored to be in the single digits. So if it's going to be that cold, then I already know what New England's about to do. They're about to tell Buffalo to man up and try to stop us running the ball.
Yeah.
That's the first one that I liked. My second one was Derek Carr under 250.5 passing yards versus the Cincinnati Bengals. He's averaged 228 yards passing yards per game in the last 5. Cincinnati is middle of the road at giving up fantasy points to the quarterback position. Cincinnati's pass defense has been decent the second half, pretty much the whole year. I know dome quarterbacks tend to struggle in cold games. I know the most recent kind of cold game that we want to look back to is when I believe that Thursday night game versus Cleveland, which was like a drag. That game was terrible.
It was an afternoon game. I think it was Tuesday.
Oh, Saturday. Was that? Oh, it was the Tuesday. You're right. The 4 o'clock game. Yeah. Garbage, regardless.
Terrible.
And that wasn't even like that cold. I think that game was in the 40s. The game they're supposed to play this Saturday is expected to be
in the high teens.
Yeah. So I mean, a game like that, I just expect both teams to run the ball.
Yeah.
That's my outlook on that one. And then my last one that I really liked also was the Zach Ertz tight end for Arizona Cardinals over 49.5 receiving yards versus the Rams. Over the last 5 games, Zach Ertz has averaged 6 catches for 59 yards. In those games, he's averaged 10 targets per game also. So that's a lot of opportunity. He's been basically his favorite target pretty much since he's been traded. outside of the games that DeAndre has been out, he's been the heaviest targeted pass catcher on Arizona. We know the Rams, they just brought in Eric Weddle out from who God knows where to come and start for them, because potentially both safeties are going to be out for that Monday night game.
That's so a matchup to exploit. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the Rams are not good at covering the tight end, so I just expect Zach Ertz to be peppered with targets in this game.
Yeah. No, that's a really good one. I actually might dabble in that myself, because that's a really good one.
Yeah, I actually already played the ones I said before we even got on the air. I might need to, get into some of these other ones that you got myself. So
some of these pick-ems, I might have to add Zach Ertz to one of these pick-em things.
Yeah.
on the dog.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we got for this episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast. Hopefully we've said some things that you may be able to apply to your roster building for this best ball, let it be just a wild card or throughout the whole playoffs. Maybe you got some plays that you might use in DFS this week. Hopefully you might even heard some props that you might want to dabble in on Prize Picks also. So Ike, do you have anything else for the people?
Nah, man. It's I'm looking forward to this weekend. It should be a fun one. We eliminate a lot of shitty players from the player pools. A lot of those guys that you don't necessarily need to back. Anybody from the Jets, anybody from the Giants or the Jaguars. You don't need to mess around with those guys anymore. These are guys that actually ball. These are guys that are on average more consistent. And they could, definitely, cause you to profit. Profit, pretty greatly this weekend. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Again, follow the show on Twitter at Off the Line FF. Follow me on Twitter at @Justin_Ike09. Follow Gene at Fantasy Genes, at @GENES. Subscribe, rate, review. Check us out on YouTube. Follow us on we're found. Follow us on anywhere podcasts can be found. We are found under the lovely Destination Devi Squad. On Spotify, Apple, Google, you name it, anywhere podcasts can be found, just like I said.
yeah. And with that being said, enjoy this full weekend of football. Let's make some money, make some good teams, with that being said, y'all be safe.
Peace out.